at www.twiliving.com.
You know that health is wealth, and ital is vital. They're not just some rhyming words, it's something that's just got to be heard. Who is responsible for your health? Look in the mirror, it's your very own self. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program designed not only to inform, but to also turn your life and health around. I'm Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host, and I'm here with my able, trusty, reliable assistant, Frank C. Smith. How you doing, Brother Frank?
I'm doing well, Doc.
Outstanding.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, we've been talking about all month men's health, and we had some good discussions about it. But today we want to dive into it a little deeper. We want to talk about health disparities between African-American men and African men living in rural Africa. And we want to look at the fact that these disparities is not genetic, you know. Today, as we are leaning into our conversation, that just may, Brother Frank, just may fundamentally change how some of our listeners view their health, their future, and their genetic blueprint.
Yes.
For decades, when we look at the staggering health disparities in this country, especially looking at African-American men whose experience is some of the highest rates of high blood pressure, strokes, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, kidney failure, you name it. And the easy medical cop-out has always been to whisper one word. It's genetics. We've been told this. It's just in our blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in our blood. But today, we want to dismantle that myth with hard science, because when you compare African American men to their to our genetic cousins living in rural, traditional African communities, the medical data is completely different. It isn't genetic destiny holding us back. It's our environment. It's our infrastructure. It's our daily choices. It isn't genetics holding us back, Brother Frank. It's our environment. It's our infrastructure. It's our daily choices.
Yes, sir.
You know, let's look at the baseline. Right now in the United States, nearly 50%, if not more, of African-American men suffer from hypertension.
Mm.
All right? Nearly 50%. We're seeing strokes and heart attacks, heart failure, hitting our brothers at dramatically young ages, you know? But if we walk into a traditional agrarian village in rural Africa, the numbers completely flip. You know, it's just the opposite. Historically, high blood pressure is at most 15 to 20% in these rural communities. You know, there's something called metabolic syndrome, and it's a dangerous combination between belly fat, insulin resistance, erratic cholesterol, is associated with hypertension, strokes, heart disease. It's virtually non-existent in these traditional settings, and yet it's widespread here. Now, you know, in order to be completely transparent, the modern world that we're living in is shifting.
Yes.
And even in African communities, they're currently undergoing what epidemiologists call a rapid transition. And this is due to ultra-processed foods and sedentary jobs that are creeping into these rural zones, and the rate of these non-communicable diseases are beginning to climb. I remember when I first actually, so it was back in 1983, when I first left surgery and started doing holistic medicine, I was working for this guy, Dr. Harrison, and he had spent over 20 years working in Africa. You know, he loved to go to Africa, all right? He would go, Brother Frank, for a week and for a month and end up spending 6 months. But I remember one time he came back and he was extremely depressed. He was extremely depressing. And I said, Doc, what's wrong? He said, Ted, in all the years that I've been in Africa, I've never seen one case of hypertension. Mm. This time, even in the bush, I was seeing malignant hypertension. Oh. Blood pressure's over 200, over 100, you know? And I said, but Doc, why is this? He said, they've been starting to eat foods loaded with salt, all right? Mm-hmm. They're starting to eat foods loaded with salt, you know? But even, you know, considering these changes, our historical background gives us an incredible lab to see how the human body functions as it was designed to function, all right? Mm-hmm. Ancestry provides us with the baseline, but our environment pulls the trigger. See, our ancestry gives us the baseline. We know what we can do. And when we combine that with the right environment, it pulls a trigger so that we can really achieve the results. Now, we want to really dive into a landmark medical study that can help prove that you can completely rewrite your internal health markers in as little as 14 days. What'd I say, Frank?
Yep, 14 days. You can rewrite it.
14 days, mm-hmm. You know? So for those who are just turning in, we're here today breaking down the profound health differences between African-American and rural African men, and establishing exactly why these chronic diseases are not our genetic destiny, okay? So there's a guy, he was from the University of Pittsburgh. I think he pronounced his name, Stephen Ogefe, O-K-E-E-F-E. Mm-hmm. And he built on the work that was done by Dr. Dennis Burkett, who we've talked about a number of times on this program. He'd worked in Africa, a British guy worked in Africa, and he showed that colon cancer, hypertension, heart disease was just almost non-existent. And so Dr. Ogefe, he wanted to know why this colon cancer and metabolic diseases were so rampant in African Americans, but was rare in rural South Africa. So he designed a very extraordinary, highly controlled experiment known as the diet swap. The diet swap, Brother Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did, he took a group of African-American men and he had them eat a standard Western diet. I mean, African-American men who ate a standard Western diet. And he grouped them with some South African, folk from rural South African that ate the traditional agrarian diet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And what he did, he had them completely swap their diets for 2 weeks, 14 days. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we look at the baseline and what it looks like, you know, the rural African diet is loaded with what we call living food. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Living food, real food. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking over 50 grams of fiber that is wow. fermentable. All right. And also resistant starches. And they're doing that every day. And it comes from whole grains. It comes from coarse maize. It comes from wild greens, tubers, and legumes. All right,
mm-hmm.
And they eat very low, if any, animal fat and protein. Meanwhile, when we look at the American diet, our brothers are eating an incredibly fiber deficient diet. They have barely 10 to 15 grams of fiber a day, but it's packed with 2 to 3 times the amount of animal fat and protein that our African brothers are consuming. So then here's where it really gets jaw-dropping. See, when you eat our diets, our gut is filled with trillions of bacteria, or we call it the microbiome. All right, and in rural Africa, they have a bacteria which loves to feast on these plant fibers. All right, and when the bacteria digests these fibers, it produces a miraculous short-chain fatty acid called butyrate, all right? And butyrate is a biological super hero because it's profoundly anti-inflammatory. It shut down cancer cells before they could even start, all right? Whereas the Americans, they eat this low-fiber diet. And so instead of our guts being loaded with the good bacteria, it's loaded with something called Bacteroides, all right, which produces high levels of secondary bile acids, all right, which actively promote inflammation. Instead of being anti-inflammation, it promotes inflammation. Instead of protecting cells, it damages cells. So what happened in 2 weeks? When the African-Americans were fed this high-fiber, low-fat diet of the rural Africans, the markers in their colons, the inflammation in their colons plummeted, all right? And what happens was the butyrate skyrocketed, and their bodies begin to heal almost immediately, Brother Frank. But conversely, when the rural Africans start eating the ultra-processed, high-fat, low-fiber Western diet, their protective markers crashed.
Wow.
And within 14 days, their gut lining showed spikes and cellular damage and inflammation. This is 14 days, y'all.
Wow.
You know, that's how fast your body can respond if you put an end to the foods that we're currently eating and start eating the foods that our ancestors are eating. Your genetics didn't change in 2 weeks. What changed was your environment.
Mm-hmm.
What changed was your environment. That's why we say that the problem is not genetics. The problem is environment. All right. And so we want to folk to call if they have some questions or comments. Our number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. And we're talking about something that's really powerful. How we can start changing the environment of our bodies and start reversing these diseases that are killing us, Brother Frank,
yes.
And as little as 14 days, all right? So, you know, there are other studies that have been done, but, you know, I think we've established that the food on our plates act as a little information for our cells. You know, what we eat is what our cell uses, all right? And so we need to talk about our daily structures and our mind that dictate what is going to be our cardiovascular, our metabolic, our immune health. All right,
mm-hmm.
You know. So diet is a major factor in this process. But another factor that is also very important is physical activity, all right?
Yeah.
It's physical activity. And what we find is that men in rural Africa are not rushing to the gym. You know, they're not buying expensive gym memberships. They're not running on a treadmill for hours. Their physical activity is actually woven into a daily fabric of their survival.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's what we call non-exercise physical activity. And it's built in. They're walking for transportation, you know. They're engaging in consistent subsistent farming. They're performing manual tasks, you know. This constant low level daily movement, it acts to keep their insulin sensitivity razor sharp. That's the ability of the insulin to get the blood, get the glucose into the cells. And prevent the accumulation of this dangerous visceral fat, the kind that wraps around our organs and drives the metabolic syndrome that we talked about, you know, if we contrast this with the reality of African American men that we live in the suburban and urban America, you know, and we have to reiterate that it doesn't matter if you're an African American that is highly educated and highly affluent, our health is basically the same. Why, Brother Frank? Because our environments are the same.
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
See, our what we find is that our physical activity is it's sort of locked in, compartmentalized.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're sitting in our chairs, we're sitting in our desks, we're doing sedentary jobs, and we're trying to squeeze in exercise as much as we can, you know. But in addition to that, we have neighborhoods that present structural barriers, you know, and you know, there's limited safety. We don't have the green spaces, you know, fragmented sidewalks, and everything discourage us from doing the things that we need to do, you know. So we need to,
Absolutely.
So we want to let people know that this is the show is to your health. And WPFW 89.3 FM. And this month we've been talking about men's health. And we're excited to talk about it because what we're saying today is that you can see a change in as little as 14 days. As little as 14 days, you know? And so we want to want you to give us a call with your questions or comments. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0892. 93. Let's go back to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Hey, how you doing, Doc? Thank you for your service and your knowledge. I've got a question
Thank
in regards to the high fiber, low fat. When I'm just reading up on him, some bread I was just buying the other day, and it had the ingredients of resistant starch in it, and a bunch of other good things. Yeah, I suppose that's good, whatever else they had in the ingredients. But resistant starch, is that a good thing?
That's a good thing. Meaning that it's not rapidly converted into sugar, you know. Those starches, and if you take a white potato or some rice, and you cut up the potato or put the rice in water and shake it, you're gonna see a lot of white starch come out. All right. And then you keep doing it until it's clear. And then what's left is sort of resistant starch. There's still some starches there, but it's starches that are associated with fiber that will break down slowly and be absorbed into the system slowly. And so it won't spike your blood sugar up, which causes the problem that we see.
Good. Yeah, because I noticed when Whenever I cook, before I cook my brown rice, I always wash it, and I know it's a real milky color, water coming out of the rice, and I do it until it's clear. Is that
That's
all
right.
right?
That's exactly what you want to do. You want to get as much of that labile starch out that immediately will shoot your sugar up, and you want to get the resistance down to the resistant starches.
Okay, thank you. One other thing. Okay, I'm trying to do this high fiber. What would you suggest me to go to find out meals to cook, like for breakfast, lunch, or dinner for a high fiber, low fat diet here? I'm just trying to look online to make sure
So,
nobody's
so,
trying
so
to
the
scam
sim
me.
the simple the simple answer, you want a plant-based whole food diet. And if you do that, that's in and of itself a high fiber, low fat, low protein diet. All right. And that's the one that these Africans are eating in rural Africa. And you know, one of the first places I saw people washing rice like that was some Africans. You know, I think they were from Ghana, but regardless of where they're from, they do the same thing, all right? And West Indians do the same thing also. And so, you know, we have just we've not gotten it. So we need to study our history, the good parts of it, and find out that we're on top of it.
Right. One other thing. I juiced some collard greens the other day. Is it okay to drink that juice from the collard greens?
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah, man.
Those collard greens. Bitter, but go ahead.
Yeah, but you can put some apple or something in there with them, you know, to decrease the bitterness. And there are probably some other ways you can do that also, but the young collards are less bitter than the old, but
okay.
Those collard greens contain a lot of stuff. All right. They're part of the cruciferous vegetables, and the cruciferous vegetables are some of the healthiest. As you read, you'll find out when they start talking about foods that are good for vegetables, they're going to talk about the cruciferous vegetables, the broccoli, the collard greens, mm-hmm. the kale, etc. For fruits, they're going to talk about the berries, like the blueberries and so forth. Mm-hmm. The gooseberries, we're going to talk about that mm-hmm. more at a later date. But these are just packed with nutrients, and and we've talked about them a lot, and we won't get too much more into them today, but they're very, very good for you, my brother.
Okay, well, good. Right. So it would help in my digestion, I guess.
Oh, it'll help everything, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You all keep up the good work, and thank you very much. Keep your head up and stay focused.
Thank you. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0892. Let's go back to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line, 93.
My good doctor. Belated Happy Father's Day to you and my brother over there.
Thank you. Likewise.
Okay. Let me tell you about the brothers coming back from the war in the late 60s, the 70s. We came back with post-traumatic stress disorder to post-traumatic slave mm-hmm. disorder. We were smoking more, we were drinking more, we were doing drugs more, we were eating bad food, and we were stressed out. And what I got the sisters from Baltimore doing is listening to you and saying, oh, we got to get a solution to our brothers because we're the ones cooking and cleaning and taking care of them.
Yes.
And they're listening. But when I talk to the sisters saying, well, you know, I got fibroid problems. I got lupus. I got this. I got that. What is going on with our community? And please talk to
man,
me. And
man, we've gotten away. We've gotten away from where we need to be. And you mentioned the military. And let me just tell you, my mother brought my draft notice to my graduation, and fortunately didn't give it to me until after I graduated. and long story short, after I decided not to let my brother break my leg, because I was going to break my leg not to go, I went on in. And what I found, especially when I got to Germany, all right, my last post, you know, over there, they don't smoke marijuana a lot. They smoke hashish, which
that's
is
right. That's right.
Even more powerful. That's and right. I remember I traveled a lot while I was there. And we went downtown with some brothers, and I saw these police. They were dressed in civilian clothes, but I saw them checking us out. And so I said, man, these cops, man. And so I said, I ain't never going down with y'all no more because they were smoking this weed. All right. So I went to visit some friends. I forget what city. It was one of the major cities. And they lived in, they actually stayed in the basement of the hospital. All right. Right above them, the officers stayed. Okay. When you walked into the hospital there in the basement, you would get high.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you would get high, you know. And I used to play cards with these guys, and they said, Watkins, you got a contact high. I said, I don't need drugs to get high. I'm high on life. But the point I'm making is, you know how the smell of marijuana and hashish goes up. It was up. I went up to the officer's section. They could smell it all in there. They didn't care.
I can walk in some
apartment building
and see a cloud of smoke. I can, because I don't smoke. So I see my buddies, and you know my buddies ask me, "Hey, you don't drink no more? I don't smoke no more. I don't drink no more. I don't do drugs no more. I ain't eat no bad food because I'm tired of being stressed out." And every time I talk to y'all's wives, they suffer from lupus. They suffer from fibroids.
Yeah. All those diseases. All those diseases are coming from our lifestyle. And that's what we're talking about, our environment.
You know, talk about it. Peace.
Yeah. The interesting thing, see, I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I didn't cuss. I didn't run to women. And so the first sergeant and the captain called me a troublemaker because I read. But anyway, let's get back to our phones. The number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Hear you fine.
Oh, great. I just have a question about high-fiber diet. That helps with your elimination, correct? Because
yes.
I'm trying my best to do that. I'm a senior citizen, and...
You don't sound senior.
I beg your pardon?
I said you don't sound senior, but go ahead.
Bless your heart. Thank you. Well, I am. And is it normal to eliminate several times a day, or is that an indication that you might have some issues with your colon?
So there's something called the oral anal reflex. Mm-hmm. When you eat, you should defecate, all right? So if you eat three times a day, you should at least have three bowel movements a day. And if you're eating a diet high in fiber and drinking plenty of fluids and getting your walking in, you will definitely do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
But what happens in our environment now, we've gotten away from that. And so we're eating these not just processed, but ultra-processed foods.
Right.
Where there's almost no fiber. As a result, they're very calorie dense, which means that we're getting fatter and fatter and fatter, and we have no fiber, so we get constipated, we get hemorrhoids, we get colon cancer, we get polyps. All these things come as a result of these low fiber diets.
And recycle waste.
And recycle waste.
We Can I ask you? Excuse me, go ahead. I was going to say, I'm traveling right now, and actually I was listening to something on the radio. Your program popped on, and I was so thankful, but it's kind of in and out. I don't want to lose you. Is there a way I can hear a re-airing of this, or stay in touch with your program or something?
Yes. It's go tell them, Frank.
WPFWFM.org. And you can download our app from your favorite app store and listen to it on your phone. We're called To Your Health. So look forward to
Monday
Your
at
Health.
2 o'clock. You can also go to the archives.
Yeah.
You can go to that same website. You can go to the archives and you can pull up the last four or five shows. But if you go
FM.org
and go to Listen Live, you can hear us that way also.
Mm-hmm.
WPFWFM.org.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Archives or live at 2 o'clock on Mondays.
All right.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Do you have another question?
That's it. God bless you, and thank you so much.
All right. Have safe travels. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Just call her.
No more.
We good for right now? All right. So we talked about two major factors that's killing us from our environment. One is diet. This low fiber, high fat, high protein diet that's killing us. But in addition to that, we talked about you're not getting enough activity. You know, there was a study done at Cleveland Clinic where they actually said they could calculate how long you were going to live based on how much you walked. You know, it was a very long involved study. So it obviously showed some good things. Plus, I was talking to one of my boys, Dr. Bond, who's been on the show before, and Dr. Bond, exercise physiologist, said that the research shows that exercise stimulates the immune system. All right. And no exercise or exhaustive exercise depresses the immune system. And so exercise is very, very, very important for so many diseases. It helps to decrease obesity, lowers heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, you name it, and even cancer. So we need to exercise. But one, the other one that's really, really a killer is something they call it an invisible killer. Allostatic load, they call it allostatic load. And what allostatic load is a clinical term for the accumulative wear and tear on our bodies caused by a chronic, unrelenting stress.
Wow, what's it called again?
It's called allostatic, S-T-A-T-I-C.
Allostatic, okay.
Allostatic load,
mm-hmm.
And it's a clinical term, all right. I've just become familiar with it, but it's the cumulative wear and tear on our bodies caused by chronic, unremitting stress. Wow. And when we look at African American men, the data shows there's an extremely high allostatic load on us. I was talking to someone just yesterday. You know, went to a little dinner for Father's Day, and we were talking, some of my boys, and I was, matter of fact, our guest for next week, and we were talking, and I said, look, you know, I'm normally low stress, but when my son was you know, starting to, little teenager starting to go out, I'd be stressed until he got back in the house, man. Not that he was a bad kid, but because of the environment that we live in, you know, you walk in or you drive in while black, and that's all it takes, you know. And so we have to navigate this systematic inequalities. Dealing with the socioeconomic pressures that we have to deal with every day in our environment, you know, and what it does, it helps to, you know, lower our immune systems. It helps to trigger the fight and flight. And so our bodies are constantly under stress. You know, I did a very extensive study one time, Frank, looking at prostate cancer, and I went through a lot of things, and a lot of people were blaming it on our environment. Not having insurance or getting poor. But one author said he looked at all of the factors and looked at it from a statistical perspective. And the only thing that really accounted for the high level of prostate cancer in black men in this country was stress.
Wow. Wow.
Stress. Your brain is constantly under attack, you know, and it's constantly pumping out the cortisol and the adrenaline day in and day out. You know, and I've said many, many times that stress is the number one cause of death in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Not heart disease, stress. When you look at heart disease, it's stress. When you look at cancer, it's stress. When you look at diabetes, it's stress. When you look at hypertension, it's stress. When you look at also stress, migraine, stress, you name it, stress mm-hmm. is there. And so, you know, and it doesn't mean that what happens, let me just say this before, what happens when you have all this stress, it causes a premature aging of your blood vessels. All right. Mm. It stiffens the arteries. It drives the blood pressure up and it literally wrecks your metabolism.
Mm.
So that's why we have all these diseases. Now, to be sure, African men, even in rural Africa, face stress. They absolutely face stress, but they deal with it different than what we deal. I've said many times, Frank, what is stress? Is from within, not from without.
Yeah.
It's not what we're dealing with, it's how we're dealing with it. All right. See, they deal with stress with a difference. You know, they're not psychologically isolated, you know. That we find in our urban environments. You know, the rural village life is anchored in a deep, tight-knit communal structure.
Yeah.
All right? And Brother Frank, we talked about it before. We used to have that.
Yeah.
We used to have that.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, my best friend lives an hour away, man.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he's born in an hour, you know. You know, so I can't go borrow a cup of sugar from him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, so we have to recognize that we need to rebuild community, and we got to find ways of doing it. We have to use the technology and different things and build these psychological buffers, you know, that we face. Otherwise, we're going to continue to suffer and die. The number, once again, is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. And so I guess one of the major points that I wanted to make today, Frank, is that we're always talking about genetics. And you know, clearly genetics is significant. I mean, you look at me, you see my relatives. You know, my favorite uncle. We're spitting image. You know,
mm-hmm.
my mother's brother. You know, spitting image. But you know, it's not just genetics. It's the key is environment. The key is environment. And what I want our men to do is to empower themselves so that they can empower the community. The community is scared of us.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to fall in love with ourselves again. We need to tell ourselves that we're the bomb. You know? We got to look in the mirror, and we got to keep looking in the mirror until we see something worth changing for. All right. And then once we see it, then we can start acting on it. You know, once again, the number is 202-588-0893. We just have a few minutes, but let's quickly go back to our phone. Just call her. You're on the line.
Yes. I have found that stress is always going to be there, but the thing, the key is finding ways to mitigate it. So for me, I like to do a sound bath or a salt float or meditative drawing, things like that to help mitigate stress.
Yeah. And there are a number of things to do that. But also I learned I learned when I was in school. I went to church school all my life. Howard was the first time I ever went to a non-church school. But I learned the only fear we have for the future is that we forget where God has led us in the past. When we look over our history, we can see that we've gone through some rough things. But the operative word is we've gone through it. All right?
Right.
And so we can use things like you're saying to mitigate the stress, but we also can use our brain. We can know that we're gonna do it. We're gonna make it.
Right.
That we can do anything but fail, you know? And so we gotta tell ourselves that, and we gotta tell our children that, you know?
Right.
we gotta get our children to where they're crazy, you know. You know, when my daughter was in college, the year she graduated, the president who I had been in school with, because we went to the same school, myself, my wife, and all three of our children all graduated, and now our granddaughter is a rising junior at the same college. But anyway, I saw the president, and he said, "We're going to miss your daughter. She made a real contribution to the school." We did not always agree on everything. She was an editor of the paper for 2 years in a row and just sort of shook the school up through the paper. He said, but she was always respectful, but she held her ground. And I know where she got that from. You know, she got it from her daddy, you know, because he knew the way I was when I was in school, you know. See, so we got to teach our children to be resilient, to be respectful, but to stay in your ground, you know. One time, she said he called her in. He had all the vice presidents, all the deans, everybody in, and her. Someone had written a letter critical of him to the editor. And he wanted her to retract the article. She said, "I will not retract it. Don't you want to know what the students are thinking?" She said, "You can write a rebuttal." But I said, you told him that? She said, "Yes, I told him that." In a very respectful manner, you know. But we got to learn to stand. We got to know that we're special. And we can do anything. And if you look, you know, we've been talking about the blue zones, but last week I introduced the black zones. Because when you look at these rural communities in Africa, and even in parts of the West Indies, you know, that have not been Americanized totally, the rates of these chronic diseases is almost non-existent.
Yeah.
Right.
Almost non-existent.
Living to the 90s or 100s.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our girl, Dr. Parker, when she came back from Ghana the first time, she said she met this guy. He was 120-some years old. Still having babies,
oh
man. Still having babies.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Still producing, you know. I mean, this is amazing. So we have the heritage, all right?
Yes.
Let's utilize that heritage, you know. Let's look at what they're eating, and not allow ourselves to be sucked into this environment that is trying to destroy us.
Right. Agreed.
Thank you so much for your call, and hopefully
you
gain a little bit from the program. So once again, Brother Frank, we got to recognize it's not genetic. It's environmental.
Yes.
GE. We go from genetics to environment.
And
we got to have the arrow pointing toward environment, and we got to be willing to change our environment. So I'm excited. Next week we're going to have a really good show. I'm going to look at how some of the ways we got to where we are now. And I have a special, we have a special guest coming on next week, who is, I'm just so excited to get him on. We're probably going to need to get him on several times to discuss. He has a special program for men, especially Black men, and is changing many, many lives all over the country, yay, all over the world. Any closing comments, Brother Frank?
Yes, thank you, Doc, for boldly bringing this vital information on the difference between African American diets and environments and that of rural Africa and Caribbean. Immense thanks to our engineers, Kalia Chapman and Byron Bernard. To Shana Lonei, General Manager, Katia Stitt, Program Director. Enjoy your vacation, Katia. And to all of the other tireless WPFW staff, programmers, volunteers, and our loyal listeners. Thank you, Maka B, for your music contributions. Stay tuned to WPFW Jazz and Justice Radio. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. After that is To the East with Ambrose Lane Jr. Listen in next Monday at 2 p.m. for another life-saving broadcast of To Your Health. You can also listen to a recording of this and other broadcasts by going to wpfwfm.org/archives. Simply search for To Your Health. You can also listen to archived and live broadcasts on your phone by downloading the WPFW app from your phone's app store. Support for To Your Health comes in part from Dr. Theodore Watkins of the Watkins Institute. Dr. Watkins advocates holistic medicine and teaches lifestyle changes, as you heard. Further information is available at twiliving.com. Thank you, Kalia.
Health is vital, you gotta take care of yourself. Health is wealth. Vital is vital, you can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth. Vital is vital, try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth. Vital is vital, you can't rely on nobody else. Me say prevention is better than cure. You can't rely on the system no more. Say all over the West, the healthcare in a mess. Especially for the poor, that's for sure. Eat good, exercise and try your best. Might be seeing the doctor less and less. In your own health, you have to invest. It's in the best of your interest, cause health is wealth. Vital is vital, try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth. Vital is vital, you can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth. Vital is vital, try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth. Vital is vital, you can't rely on nobody else.
Support for To Your Health comes in part from Dr. Theodore Watkins of the Watkins Institute. Dr. Watkins advocates holistic medicine and teaches lifestyle changes. Further information is available at www.twiliving.com.
The Pacifica elections are underway. Help keep your station strong by nominating and voting for national and local station board members. Your donation of $25 or more on your station's website between July 1st, 2025 and June 30th, 2026 will secure your membership and eligibility to nominate and vote. Please donate before June 30th and you will get a Nominate Now email or text with candidate information from Pacifica Foundation, Inc. Confirmed candidates will be on the August 15th Pacifica Foundation ballot. more information about Pacifica Election. Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. Juneteenth, 2026. Was not only a celebration of freedom for African Americans nationwide, but it was also the grand opening for a new space named after one of the most prominent African Americans in United States history. The Obama Presidential Center opened to the public on June 19th. This center is a 19.3-acre campus in Chicago's historic Jackson Park on the South Side. It features a museum detailing the presidency and social movements, an athletic and community center, public parks, and a branch of the Chicago Public Library. Former President Barack Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama surprised the first 100 guests to their center by greeting them personally. The Obama Presidential Center has several nods to history, with spaces named after luminaries like Rosa Parks, Fannie Lou Hamer, and Congressman John Lewis. There are also personal touches, with an exhibit featuring letters written to Barack Obama while he was president, as well as a portrait of the former president and first lady. The day prior to the grand opening, the Obamas held a ceremony featuring musical performances by Bruce Springsteen, John Legend, Jennifer Hudson, Common, and many more. The first round of discussions under the U.S.-Iran agreement are in the books, and both sides have had some positive things to say. Vice President J.D. Vance said the country's talks in Switzerland, quote, laid a very good foundation, after both sides agreed to keep the Strait of Hormuz open and maintain Lebanon's ceasefire, even as President Trump threatened to hit Iran only harder. Also, Iran's foreign minister said that these discussions resulted in, quote, major progress at ending the conflict in Lebanon. But he added that the first real test of these talks is the so-called Lebanon deconfliction cell. This cell is a formal communication framework designed to separate conflicting militaries, enforce ceasefires, and prevent unintended escalation. Last week, primary election day took place in D.C. and marked the first time that the ranked choice voting system was used citywide, which allowed voters to select up to five candidates in the order of their preference, first, second, third, and so on. The winner of the Ward 1 council member Democratic primary is Upper Neeraj, who defeated four other candidates. This marks the first time in decades that D.C.'s Ward 1 councilmember primary election did not include a current candidate. On the D.C. Council, Raj will represent areas including Adams Morgan, Columbia Heights, Shaw, and the U Street Corridor. According to her campaign website, she is prioritizing, quote, stable housing, good public schools, union jobs, and strong public transit. Additionally, U.S. Representative Oye Owolewa has taken the lead in the race for the Democratic nomination for at-large D.C. councilmember, with 51% of the vote after eight rounds. According to his campaign, Owolewa wants to bring back 40,000 jobs to fired federal workers in D.C., restore D.C. Medicaid for 25,000 working-class families who lost their health care, and make UDC tuition free for D.C. residents. Lastly, new leadership is in place at DC Public Schools, or DCPS. This is the first week that Dr. Kim Jackson is serving as the interim chancellor for DCPS. According to Mayor Muriel Bowser's announcement, Chancellor Jackson brings more than a decade of leadership within DCPS, beginning in 2012 as the principal of Seton Elementary School. In 2015, she was recognized as Principal of the Year and recently served as Chief of Schools, helping lead the launch of D.C.'s annual Literacy Institute and overseeing the use of the new Building Blocks curriculum. Dr. Jackson's new tenure follows the vacancy created by Dr. Louis Farabee, who stepped down from his role as DCPS Chancellor last week after 8 years. Dr. Farabee has taken a new position in the private sector as CEO of the nonprofit organization Ed Reports, which is designed to improve pre-K to 12th grade education. In today's weather, it's currently 90 degrees in D.C.
That's all for your headline news this hour. For WPFW Washington, I'm Darnia Samuels. Please be safe, and thank you for listening.